Zion Eeyore, Sunday the 15th of May, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, renewing our contract. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored, Lichvod Simchas HaBar Mitzvah of Yitzi Markovich.
Since in Chutz Laaretz we are Parshas Emor, I thought it would be appropriate to speak on that Sedra, although for those in Eretz Yisrael this will be old hat. In the Parsha, we go through the Seder of the Mayadim. And it is in Seder. It starts Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, Shmini Atzeres. What is interesting is that we interrupt the flow to mention a mitzvah which is not related to any of the Yomim Tovim. And the Torah says as follows. When you're carrying out the harvest, and this refers to the mitzvahs of leket, shikcha, upeah. Rashi, understandably, is bothered by the fact that these mitzvahs, which have already been mentioned in last week's parasha, are nevertheless here, and especially since they are out of place here. So Rashi says, "Mara akosuv litnom be'emtzar regolim," almost in the middle of the parasha of the regolim, "lelamdecha shekol hanoisin leket shikcha upeah le'oni koroy." Somebody who carries out the mitzvah as it should be, malin olav ki'ulu bono beis hamikdash. It's as if this person built the beis hamikdash. He gave leket shikcha upeah. It's as if he built the beis hamikdash. And more than that, v'hikriv korbanosov b'seichai. No less than that, somebody who brings leket shikcha upeah, bono beis hamikdash and hikriv korbanosov. Now, of all the mitzvahs to choose, two out of those three happen ba'akroi. You can't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to be mekayim, the mitzvah asay of leket. There's no l'shem yichud to be said before it, because it happens and it's over before you realized it was going to happen. And yet, the Torah puts so much emphasis on it that it's as if you built the Beis HaMikdash. More than that, it's not just that the mitzvah happens without you preparing for it. The actual value of the mitzvah, especially in the case of leket, is negligible. It is only there, as you know, if you cut one or two stalks of wheat that you leave them. But if you leave it when you cut three stalks of wheat or more, that's tzedakah, maaser, it could come under various headings. But it's no longer the mitzvah of leket. How many families are you going to feed on a single stalk of wheat? So it's not only that you can't prepare for the mitzvah, but the mitzvah itself almost seems negligible or trivial, chas v'shalom. And it gets better, as they say. Because If you have a look at the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Mem Zayin, which is brought lahalacha by the Rambam, Tana Rabbanon Gesha Borlis Gayer Bizman Hazeh, somebody who comes to go through Geirus. Oimrim loy mara isav, so we try and put the person off that Yisrael bezman hazeh or dechufim schufim, etc., etc. Nevertheless, if they persist that they want to go through Geirus, meidin I say, miktsas mitzvahs kalos, miktsas mitzvahs chamurais. Give him an insight into what the tariag mitzvahs are. Meidin I say. Avoin leket shikha upeh. So of all the things that I have to tell a prospective ger, one of them is avoin leket shikha upeh. Echateisa. What exactly is the importance that is being attached to this mitzvah where it doesn't seem that important to us? And the answer lies precisely within that. It's an idea I saw from Rabbi Miller from Geitzer Zatzal. He writes that it is precisely in carrying out mitzvahs where we don't see the value. Right? As we see from the beginning of Parshas Ekev, mitzvahs that a person is doshed by him, that a person treads underfoot, those are the mitzvahs that actually contain a tremendous lesson and a tremendous idea. Why? Life is unpredictable. We don't exactly know what opportunities are going to come our way, what obstacles we're going to encounter. We have no idea what is around the corner. And what we are essentially being told within these three mitzvahs is to make use of every opportunity in life, even, and perhaps especially, if I don't see the value. Because at that point I'm not carrying out the mitzvah because it makes sense to me, because to my logic, in my philosophy, I understand its importance, its centrality, and its value. But faket. Because I'm being mshabed myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And even though, to me, I would walk away from it, or definitely not put much emphasis on it, the idea that I approach it with the same amount of chashivus as I do mitzvahs which make logical sense to me, makes me a Yirei Shamayim. Because what I am doing is because of Yiras Shamayim, and for no other reason, for no ulterior motive. And that makes me part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. That is what actually allows my Kabbalas HaTorah to become real. Because I'm doing things where I don't see why I should be doing it, or Bechlal even why the Torah introduced it. And this is also apparent in a Maisa in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, where we are familiar with the end of that conversation, or the end of the story, but not with the conversation itself. And that is Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian and Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. We find Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma became unwell, and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian came to visit him. And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was upset with Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian. He said to him that you are risking your life by teaching Torah in public, and therefore this is not necessarily the time to be acting in the way that you are. And I heard that you are Isik Bater or Makil Kihilos Barabim. It's not such a good idea at the time that this is a Gezeres Hashmad from the Romans. And Rabbi Chanina ben Tradian said, Faket. Even though Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma added, Tama ani im lo yisrafu oischa ve es sefer Torah ba'esh, which, as we know, is what took place, and the Gvilin Nisrofim and the Oisius Perchus Ba'avir. But Rav Chanina ben Trudian nevertheless said, this is something which, if I don't do it, where is Torah going to be? Fine. Then, Rav Chanina ben Trudian, having made it obvious that he's literally being Moser Nefesh for Torah, to the degree that he was actually killed for the Torah that he was being Moser Nefesh, that he was teaching in public. Rav Chanina ben Trudian then asks Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma the following question. Omar lo Rebbe, ma ani l'chaye ha'olam haba? Will I get into olam haba? What? Will you get into olam haba? Somebody who is literally risking his life on a daily basis and will pay the price for it is questioning whether he will get into olam haba. What is the answer proposed by Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma? He says to him, "Klum ma'aseh bo liyotcha." Tell me, you know, what have you done in your life that is noteworthy, that is mentionable? So he said to him, "I'll tell you what I did. Mois shel Purim nischalfu li b'mois shel tzedaka. I had money lying around on Purim, and it got mixed up with tzedaka money." And what I did is I gave the whole thing to Tzedaka. At that point, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said, "Im Kain, really? That's what you've done? Mechelkecha yechelki. Halavai that my portion in Olam Haba should be the equivalent of what yours is going to be." So not because he was risking his life to teach Torah, but rather because he gave 10p to Tzedaka on a Sofik. What's going on here? Same idea. When it is something which is so obvious and so crystal clear that a person is carrying it out because he's metzuvah va'emet, not simply because of the tzivui, but because internally he is propelled towards the mitzvah, of course there is matan schara b'tzida. But something that shows me to be a yirei shamayim because of my diktuk in an area where I can't see the value, that is real Yirah Shamayim. And we find, interestingly, in the whole of the Sefer that we are in, Sefer Vayikra, which is called Sefer Teras Kehanim, if you look at Parashas Kedoshim, it doesn't seem to fit the bill. Parashas Kedoshim does not mention the Kohen in any obvious way. And therefore, Al Pi Rov, the Kohanim have a say in what's going on here, but why is Parashas Kedoshim in Sefer Vayikra, especially it's quite a short Sedra, 64 Psukim, you know, you could have rehoused it without any of the other Sedras minding that much. What is it doing in Sefer Teras Kohanim? Actually, it's more than Parashas Kedoshim. The first 17 prokim, in other words, up to halfway through Parashas Acharei Mos, very clearly have a theme of both the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash. The Korbonos, the Yom HaShmini, the whole idea of Tazria Metzera being in the hands of the Kohen. Only when the Kohen says the person is Tomei do they become Tomei, even if every Talmud Chochum who's a Yisrael says that it's obvious that these are the signs of Tzaras, nevertheless, until the declaration is made by the Kohen, nothing happens, and Faket, in order to bring the person back into the Machne, it's all in the hands of the Kohen. The beginning of Acharei Mos, clearly the Avedus Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim, that's all to do with the Kohen and the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. From then on, it changes. It's not just Parashas Kedoshim. From then on, where we introduce the Parasha of Arayos. And what's fascinating is that the term Ani Hashem, or Ani Hashem Elokeichem, occurs over 50 times in Sefer Vayikra. In one half, it occurs once, And in the other half, it occurs 50, more than 50 times. So you would think naturally, in which half does it occur continuously? In the half dealing with the Mishkan, with the Beis HaMikdash. Where else would you have the emphasis of Ani Hashem? In actual fact, in the whole of the first half until Perek Yud Ches of Sefer Vayikra, it only occurs once, and it occurs in an area that's not dealing with the Kohanim, but in Kashrus, in the Parsha Shemini. On all other occasions, all the other parashas, we don't mention the words Ani Hashem. Whereas, in the second half of Sefer Vayikra, it is replete. You can't open or close a parasha in there without coming across Ani Hashem. Because our purpose here is to take the idea of the Mishkan, which is a nucleus for our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and bring it into all areas of life. There is an idea in Machshava known by the acronym of Osham. The three words of Osham are Olam, Shana, and Nefesh, which means that a person exists within the concept of Olam, within the concept of space, within the concept of Shana, the concept of time, and the Nefesh is that which brings Olam and Shana to life. Those are the three worlds which we inhabit. And hence you come across the concept of Oshon when Moshe Rabbeinu enters the smoke around Har Sinai. It's because he is being exposed to the concept of Olam, Shana, and Nefesh within Kabbalah Sotera. That's why the Torah records it in Parashas Vayisra. In Parashas Yisra, sorry. The interesting thing is that in the second half of Sefer Vayikra, we are being told how we can bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into Olam, into Shana, and into Nefesh. To bring it into the minutia of our lives, not into the macro where it is more evident, but into our personal lives on a daily basis. So Parshas Kedoshim and the first half of Emor is all about the Nefesh element. It's the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro mitzvahs that we come across in Parshas Kedoshim. It's the mitzvahs that apply to the Kohen in the beginning of Parshas Emor, Le'itamar, and the Mumim. Then we go into the Shana element. The next part of Parshas Emor, dealing with the Yomim Tovim. That's clearly the Shana element, and that carries on into Parshas Bahar, because we're still dealing with time. We're dealing with Shmita, we're dealing with Yovel, the mitzvah that is the paradigm element of time, because it, so to speak, consumes the greatest amount of time of any mitzvah in the Torah. And then we move to Olam, because the second half of Parshas Bahar is all about redeeming fields in Eretz Yisrael, the Steachuza, and the different mitzvahs that apply to them. And then in Bechukosai Teilechu, and Asati Gishmechem, and we will have a hold over Eretz Yisrael, and Asati Shalom Ba'aretz, whereas if things don't go well, what's going to happen? We will be expelled from Eretz Yisrael. The land is what becomes very relevant through the parasha of Bechukosai. Which means that we are being taken through these three ideas of Olam, Shana, and Nefesh, always accompanied by Ani Hashem. And in the same way, as Rav Yossi ben Kisma described Rav Hanina ben Tradian's connection to Torah through a tiny mitzvah, that's what we are being told in the second half of Sefer Vayikra. And well known that Rav Dessler defines the concept of Chilul Hashem not purely as not standing up for an old lady that gets on the bus, but rather its root is the word Chalal, meaning I create a vacuum. I create an area in which I do not invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu into. And that can be in whichever place I create as one where Torah doesn't really apply here. So the concept of Chilul Hashem, and this is also a point that is in the in other Sifrei Machshava and Sifrei Musa, the point that I can sit down at home and perform a mitzvah with the same hislavus, with the same attitude as I would when I was in public and when I was being pulled along with the regesh that was apparent because I was in a public forum, not only because other people are watching, but because other people bring out in me an element of Berevam Hadras Melech. If I can bring that to bear in something that I'm doing in the privacy of my own four walls, of my own Dalad Amos, it's at that point that I'm really creating Kiddush Hashem. And he talks about how Kiddush Hashem is a private matter, which also has ramifications in public. But it starts with a Havana, with an understanding and with an approach to how we conduct our lives, because it's based on how I see my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we start Pirkei Avos, as is well known, with the statement, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, which is very true, but a little bit late in the day. By the time we've got to Pirkei Avos, we have gone through the whole of Seder Zroim, Seder Moed, Seder Noshim, and we're two-thirds of the way through Nezikin. So we are, in essence, almost two-thirds of the way through Shas. And now you tell me, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? What about just before Me'emasai? Or, why do I need the statement at all? The idea is that what makes Pirkei Avos different to the other Masechtas is that it's not dealing with the theory of what we should and should not be doing, but what people are when they are Yirei Shamayim. And that's why, as the Maral points out, in the first four prokim of Pirkei Avos, 50% of the statements start with the words, Hu Hoya Omer. This person used to say. Because Hu Hoya Omer can also be translated to mean his very essence used to say. His being, if you saw him, if you came across him in complete non-verbal communication, simply by observing this individual's activities, it would say to you X, Y, or Z. Shammai saying, Have a mekabel es kol ha'odom b'seiv upon him yofais, is because that's how he lived his life. And therefore, Pirkei Avos is telling you, don't just think that the Torah is a set of instructions which, you know, theoretically make a lot of sense, and they are good ideas, but, you know, practically speaking, no one lives that way. No one can possibly achieve it. It's, you know, the big ideas of Judaism will carry out, but once it comes to the details, it's not possible. I was giving a shiur last night, and one of the people there said, it was about Dine Momonos, and I was talking about the fact that in the Choshen Mishpat terms, there are absolutes. Which means that if you are just this side of things, it's fine, and if it's just that side of things, you have to pay. And even though the difference between being this side of things and that side of things is tiny, but because we have to draw a line in the sand somewhere, wherever that line is drawn, being a tiny amount over makes all the difference in the world. So he said, well, you know, surely we've got to bring in that people are just people, and we have to have a certain level of rachmonus. So I said, well, you can't have Rachmanis in the Choshen Mishpat anyway, because if you have Rachmanis on one side, then you're not having Rachmanis on the other side. But beyond that, there has to be absolutes, and I have to be meshabed myself to absolutes. It's in that area that things start to get very fuzzy. That people don't see the same level of clarity as they do in fasting on Yom Kippur, doing tshuva. That's where it makes the difference. When I bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into areas of my life where you might think it's somewhat in excess. And it's interesting, I was in Lisbon recently, I took a group there on Chol HaMoed actually, and we took them to the street where the Abarbanel once lived. There's no zecha of anything left in Lisbon, because whatever the church didn't steal from the Yidden eventually was destroyed. They had, very interestingly, there was an earthquake in Lisbon in 1755, and the earthquake opened up 5-meter gaps in the ground, and as soon as the earthquake was over, the river was sucked back into the ocean 4 kilometers, and the tsunami came and destroyed the town, and then a fire broke out for 3 days. And the interesting thing was, so it was like Mibamai, Mibaesh, the interesting thing was that it happened on All Saints' Day, and many of the inhabitants of Lisbon were in church, and all the churches collapsed, and all the people in there were killed. And across Europe, the philosophers said, you know, hallo dovohu, that this isn't normal. And Voltaire said at the time, that's because they kicked the Yidden out of Portugal. Which is interesting. Interesting response. But Kant and Rousseau, all the philosophers had a dea in what was going on. Vinishtvi. So when we were down where the Abarbanel lived, so I mentioned something about the Abarbanel's life. We know that he was the finance minister to Ferdinand and Isabella, and that given the choice to be able to actually stay in the country when the expulsion happened, he decided to leave nonetheless, and he wasn't prepared to convert. And he left, even though another Jew, Avram Senior, who was also a member, so to speak, of the cabinet of Ferdinand and Isabella, he actually did convert. So the Abarbanel records all this, and he records how he left and he had to leave everything behind. What is less known is that the Abarbanel had previously been the finance minister to Alfonso, to the king of Portugal. And when the king died and his son took over, he was nechshad in a conspiracy against the king, and he had to leave Portugal, also b'chosa koel. In even worse circumstances than when he left Spain. He wrote Vayhi b'chatzos halayla, the way he records his whole history, his whole personal narrative, is replete with psukim and phrases from Tanakh. He writes, you know, that Paroi and that got his riders harotzim yotzu d'chufim b'dvar hamelech in order to try and chase me and catch me. And I made it over to Castilia, and at the time Spain and Portugal were not on positive terms, so he found a monoyach in Spain. And then he writes, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to me? What did I ever do? My house was a beis vaad l'chachomim, and I gave tzedakah. Esmiya Shakti, he goes, he talks about, you know, the defense of Shmuel, right? When they ask for a melech, he, as I said, he quotes these phrases from Tanakh all the way through. He said, what have I ever done wrong? And then he said, you know something? It was worth it, because I was getting too distracted in what I was doing in my life, and now I can sit and learn Torah. And in fact, over the next 6 months, he wrote his perush on Yeshua, Shoftim, and Shmuel in 6 months. But what the conclusion that he comes to is, it wasn't that he was abandoning Torah. It wasn't that he wasn't carrying out mitzvahs. It wasn't that his Yiddishkeit was suspect. But there was a certain connection that was missing in his life. And he writes, it was therefore worth being put through these redifas in order to being put back on track. The second half of Sefer Vayikra is telling us, without redifas, that we should be putting our lives onto these tracks of Olam Shana and Nefesh. And Faket, the more I see the involvement of Ani Hashem in these areas, the more I am actually becoming what we classically define as Yirei Shamayim. Because in other areas it is perhaps easier to do. But when we do things, and especially when we do them in the privacy of our own Dalet Amos, it's the litmus test for how much I do things purely because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah it, and especially in areas where I don't necessarily see the logic or the value, but I do it with the same amount of cheshek and islavus nonetheless, that is the definition of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted when he created this Torah to be brought into the world, and that is why we see that Maisa Bereshis is dispensed with in 35 psukim. Everything in the cosmos, 35 psukim, from the smallest to the largest. Whereas the binyan base hamikdash, the binyan of the Mishkan, is 4.5 parshiyos. Because that which we do, that which we create, that which we achieve, this little hook that connects to that curtain, all of that has a place, has a chashivas, and has an importance. And if we're able to carry the slavas through to those mitzvahs, we are truly the nation that can say that we were mekabel Torah at Har Sinai.